Today on Real Radio.
The Antichrist himself is coming, but the spirit, the agenda, is already in the earth. And John wrote that 2,000 years ago. So how much more is that spirit of Antichrist had time to advance in these last 2,000 years? And how much closer are we to this man, the Antichrist, coming onto the world scene?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We arrive at chapter 18, where the exiled apostle John sees yet another angel or messenger in his visions. Now, recently we've been learning about the use of the term Babylon here in this apocalyptic report. Well, chapter 18 tells of a new development in her story. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand.
Those of you who are note takers, you ought to jot down, if you haven't already, that Revelation chapter 17 deals with Babylon, the religious manifestation of a system that is ancient. Revelation 17, a religious manifestation of a system that is rooted in Babylon of old. Revelation chapter 18 deals with a political economic system that is rooted in Babylon. And so they are two systems that are often confused one with another, and that shouldn't be. Just know this, that as we go through our studies together, that Revelation 17 deals with the religious Babylon. Revelation 18 deals with a commercial or economic Babylon. Both of these chapters speak about events that will take place in the future. A couple of years ago, by way of introduction, you might remember, I've said it a few times because it caught me so off guard, that a couple of years ago, I was walking through an airport. It was Frankfurt International Airport in Germany, on my way to get to my gate. I'll never forget it because of what I saw that day. I saw a big banner hanging in the Frankfurt Airport, and it had the Tower of Babel there in the middle, and it was a great banner hanging. It had the Tower of Babel, and at the top it had the 12 stars of the European Union. And then at the bottom, it just had simply two words as the advertisement. And that word, those words were never again. And then in the small print as to who published or produced the sign, it was assigned by AT&T Global Communications. Now, for those of you who know your Bible, in Genesis chapter 10 and 11, that makes a lot of sense, because the Tower of Babel was Nimrod's attempt to establish a system whereby he would A, establish himself as king, B, shoot or dismantle God as being the one who would rule and reign the earth. Nimrod thought he could do it. And then C, that Nimrod would establish a global world. He would be the king. He would be this prototype of the Antichrist. He would be the one that would set up this governing world empire. That's why, as we've said, Nimrod is a prototype of the Antichrist to come. But it was interesting because the European Union had this banner with, of course, AT&T is the one selling it. Never again, because God came down, it says in the scripture, we shall see today. God came down in the Tower of Babel, or however you want to call it. And remember what Babel means, a gateway to God, or God, the gateway to glory or the gateway to God. The Lord came down and sent what to those people? Sent confusion, and it said that from that moment on, in fact, previously, man spoke one language. From that moment on, language was established. Men were confused. They fled from one another to all corners of the earth from that place of what is known scientifically as the cradle of what? Civilization. The Babylonian Empire or the region of the Tigris and the Euphrates River Valley. The significance or the concept, the idea of what Babylon stood for is really no secret to us in our modern age. The reason being is that the name Babylon, we know from the Bible, appears or is alluded to 290 times in the Bible, as we've said, second only to Jerusalem. Did you know that? In all of the Bible, Jerusalem is mentioned most. You would say, well, of course, I understand that. What's the most mentioned city? Washington, D.C.? No, not at all. Babylon, 264 times referenced as a city, 290 times referenced as a city and or alluded to. A key to understanding what Babylon is, for we know from our reading of the Bible and studying the Bible that Babylon is a general term representing an overall spirit of a satanic kingdom or realm that is driven by Satan's agenda. Right now, church, this morning, it is true, if you want to believe it or not, doesn't change anything. Satan has an agenda, and that agenda is to set up his own governing kingdom. It will be an attempt to do a worldwide system, focusing on life, worship, prosperity, government, warfare without God. Satan wants to be God. And if you know your Bible in the prophetic sense, one of the weird, spooky things is that when in the future, from this day that you and I live in, there'll be a temple built in Jerusalem. We already know that. There'll be the peace treaty given to Israel by this European leader, the Bible shows us and tells us. But a very weird thing will happen. 3.5 years into that peace treaty, this man, this political ruler that we call the Antichrist, is going to stand in the temple in Jerusalem and declare himself to be God and demand that all that is worshipped, that he be worshipped above all that there is, that he himself is God. Now, you might say, what kind of a human would ever go for such a thing like that? Well, obviously someone who's fully possessed by Satan and also, remember, has been given tremendous demonic powers who can perform incredible political feats. He will be able to bring nations together. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, he will be able to prosper the world by his thinking. He's going to have a plan, a scheme, whereby the world will be convinced that he is the last. Listen, any of you studying and keeping up with the evolutionary model and theory that's going out there? That he will be the one who makes the great leap in the evolutionary process, that he will go from being a mere man to being a deified man, a man empowered as God or a god. And he will stand in the temple in Jerusalem, says the Bible, and he will declare himself to be God and will demand worship. That's 3.5 years into that 7-year period of time. Here's the freaky thing about Satan's agenda. All along, Satan has desired worship, has he not? From the beginning. So if you can handle this, imagine a man standing and speaking to the masses, and he's doing all of his political and economic miracles, so to speak. He's possessed by Satan. Satan, the only way that he can get the human race to bow down is for Satan to possess this man's body, and as it were, in a twisted, peeping Tom kind of perverted way, he's looking out the windows of this man's eyes to see a world bowing down in worship. And Satan is so sick and so perverse and so hungry for worship, for he even says to Jesus when Jesus was on earth, if you'll only bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. He'll be peering through the eyes of this mere human being, but he will somehow get his relief and his excitement as the world bows to this man. Satan is hiding inside the shell of this man that's called the Antichrist. Satan has an agenda. It is a system of worship that we know now from our studies is rooted in one source, and that is the Babylonian system. Well, there will be a Babylonian system that will be, in fact, is already by spirit now moving in the world that will culminate, and it will offer either its answers to all of your problems or this mockery of this one God in heaven, this God of heaven and earth, this God of the Jews, this God of the Christians, and pick. And when you pick, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about, because we'll be gone. I mean, we'll be out of here. But when you pick, when that generation picks, they will either deny the God of heaven and pledge allegiance to this demonic, satanic imposter. But by doing so, they will receive what you and I know now in Revelation 13 as the mark of the beast. And you all know the number. People have known the number for thousands of years. That number is 666. And so I mention this by way of Satan's agenda. Why do I say that? Jot it down by introduction. Yes, relax. Remember Revelation 17? The introduction was huge. So is this one. So cheer up. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 John 4 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." That means as a Christian, you better be discerning as to what you hear. Listen, what you see by way of miracles, what you hear preached and taught, and what you see by so-called miracles. The Bible says you better not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. That is, put them up against the Bible. That assumes you know the Bible, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming. Listen to what he says. And is now already in the world. The Antichrist himself is coming, but the spirit, the agenda, is already in the earth. And John wrote that 2,000 years ago. So how much more is that spirit of Antichrist had time to advance in these last 2,000 years? And how much closer are we to this man, the Antichrist, coming onto the world scene? I want to say something that flies in the face of a couple of brothers of mine. I won't name them. I love them too much. I just disagree with them. You've been hearing on the radio, and you've been hearing or reading in print, that Christians are starting to believe that Javier Solano is the Antichrist. Now, many of you, if you don't know his name, jot it down and research it. Javier Solano has raised an eyebrow, and he has gotten the attention of Christians around the world. He is the most powerful man in the European Union. He is not one of the 10 kings that rule the WEU. Do you all remember last week we looked at the WEU, or was that the week before? And boy, if anybody's visiting, I'm sorry. You should have been here for the last 4 weeks. But we looked at the Western European Union and its 10 leadership kings, remember? Out of the 25 plus nations that make up the European Union today, there has been now the WEU established by the European Union, 10 governing kings and kingdoms that will preside over the conduct and policy of the European Union. Javier Solano is not one of the 10. Yet he's considered the most powerful man in the European Union. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully if you know your Bible. The hair on your neck is starting to stand up if you're a guy. That would never happen to a woman here, I know. But if you're a man, you've got hair on your back or hair on your neck, it stands up. Because the Bible says on the last days, there's going to be 10 kings arise out of the ancient Roman Empire, and they will be the platform by which this Babylonian system is introduced to the world. But it says there will come a man who is not part of the 10, but the 11th. Now, what's interesting, if Javier Solano is the 11th, and I don't know anything about this. I am not saying he is the Antichrist. I don't believe so, but he is the most powerful man in the union. And did you see this week on the news? I read it. I watched it. George W. Bush about broke his neck to get to meet with Javier Solano. Did you know that? Go read it this week. He is the man. It's not Gerhard Schroeder, and it's not Jacques Chirac. It's not any of these guys. They all look to Javier Solano. And yet he is a king, so to speak, without a kingdom. He's not one of the 10. He's the 11th. Now, because of that, many of my good brothers in the pastorate have said, that's got to be the Antichrist. I don't know that. I don't know if we'll ever know who the Antichrist is. I think we might get raptured out of here before that happens. But needless to say, these are some interesting times. As we look to Revelation 18, my friend, if you're brand new to this fellowship today, you need to jot down the things we're talking about are futuristic events. If they're futuristic events, then my goodness, we are sure seeing warning signs of how close these futuristic events are. Will you keep a few things in mind, its foundation? The Babylonian system for Revelation 17 and 18, the Babylonian system has several meanings. It's a historical system, there is no doubt about it. Babylon is the region known today as Iraq, headquartered in Babylon. Or the same. If you look at a map, it's Babylon, Iraq, the same. Now, I want to have you look at something. There's going to be three main offices as we read the scriptures regarding this man and the Babylonian system. And if you'll make note of this, this Babylon will have three main offices: Rome, Jerusalem, and New Babylon. And that's very important. I say New Babylon because as you look through the scripture, there's going to be his foundation that is established in Rome. Did we not look at that in our previous studies? Remember Rome, the city of seven hills, and its system that was in power during John's day. Remember that? Anybody? Somebody say, I remember. Lie to me if you have to, please. I feel like I'm... Okay, John. The Lord told John in Revelation 17, this is that power that rules the world today. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. What was the empire that ruled the world 2,000 years ago? The Roman Empire. So we know that it's going to be headquartered there. Then we know from the Bible, from Revelation, from 2 Thessalonians, from the book of Matthew, that it's going to be headed toward also a headquarters in Jerusalem. How do you know? Because the Bible says that the Antichrist will set up his deity, his religious theme in Jerusalem. Remember, he's going to declare himself to be God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll look at that later. And then finally, it brings us to where we're at now in Revelation 18. He will have a third corporate office. His third corporate office will be that in what for argument's sake we'll call New Babylon. New Babylon, Iraq. You can't get away from the fact that it is Iraq. Babylon is Iraq. Iraq is Babylon. That's where Nebuchadnezzar and the ancient empire Nimrod founded the region. And you all know now, you're experts now. In fact, you're giving me so much wonderful data. It's fantastic about Semiramis and Tammuz from Jeremiah 44 and Ezekiel chapter 8. It's been great. Well, listen, a chronological order will be this way. Jot it down if you would. The chronological order: the looking for a global political system to be based in Rome. The Babylonian political system will have its world headquarters in Rome, Italy. Very important. If you look at this, you can see there Rome. And that's going to be his first home base. Church, listen, why is that going to be important? Because that's where his career will begin. And this is where Babylonianism will be reestablished or reintroduced in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, please note it and go search it out for yourself. The European Union has established their constitution. It's going to be voted on soon by the population of the European Union. Guess where it was signed? I gave you a hint last week or the week before. I'll give you one hint. It's the red letters there on your map. Isn't it amazing? The European Union constitution was signed in Rome just a couple of weeks ago. A political power. Secondly, look at this in chronological order. We're looking for a global religious system to be based in Jerusalem. The Babylonian religious system, we know from the Bible, will have its world headquarters in Jerusalem. So there's the Middle East. And if you can look there, Jerusalem. Can you see that right there in the green? You can see the word in the red, Jerusalem. Now, listen, those of you who are skeptics, and I have a special affection towards skeptics because I am a humongous skeptic. And so when I pick on you, just know that I love you and I see you much like myself. I don't easily believe in anything, and I love the fact that you're a skeptic. Now keep this in mind. How in the world is it that the Bible warns us and tells us about the future to be aware of something? That Rome will be preeminent again in the last days politically. We've seen that in these last few weeks. Technically for the last 22 years. Now Jerusalem. Is not Jerusalem important to the world? Absolutely important, if not number one important. Why? Because what happens in Jerusalem dictates the peace and policies of nations around the world. That's important. And of all the religions of the world, the three main faiths in the world claim to have their roots where? Jerusalem, Judaism, the Christian church, and Islam. The only problem, I can understand Judaism and I can understand Christianity. The only bummer is Islam does never, not once ever, mention Jerusalem in all of their writings. Until May 14th, 1948, they began talking about Jerusalem. However, be that as it may, it is the focal point of global religion. It will be increasingly so under the influence of the Antichrist. And then the third move in chronology about these corporate headquarters will be the looking for, that is, we need to be looking for and being aware of the fact that there'll be a global commercial system based in Babylon, according to the Bible, if we understand chapter 18 correctly, and I think that we will as we go through this, that the Babylonian global trade system will have its third headquarters, or I should say another headquarters of the Antichrist. His third global office will be in what I'm calling New Babylon. And you can see the area there of Iraq. You can see Baghdad. Okay, now watch this. This is very interesting. And I left my pointer in my car like a nut. I should have brought it. Let's leave that map up there for a moment. Unless, Roger, do we have one that's closer, or is this it? Okay, look, everyone, can you see that? See, you guys sit in the back? You should sit up front. See? We're going to read about, in future studies, about people, shipmasters will come by sea and become wealthy by the trade of this area of Babylon. You might say, well, how in the world is that going to happen? Look at it. It's landlocked. You better look a little bit more carefully. Do you see right down here in the Persian Gulf? You see where it says Kuwait? Babylon has this little sliver where it enters into the Persian Gulf. I suggest, I'm not telling you that this is the answer, I'm suggesting that this is the answer. Keep your eye on this, because this region of Iraq today, the Bible says that it's going to be rebuilt in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Zechariah. The Bible says, listen everyone, that Babylon is going to be rebuilt and that it will only exist for a short period of time in all of its splendor and glory. I'm paraphrasing, but very accurately. It will enjoy its wealth for a short period of time. The world will look to it. By the way, the book of Revelation mentions it also in this chapter. And then all of a sudden, in one day, in fact, the book of Revelation says, on that day, the judgment will come in 1 hour. It will be utterly destroyed to the point where no man or woman will ever inhabit it again.
Well, pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study that takes a look at Babylon and how it is referred to in Revelation chapter 18. En route to Babylon, mankind's final stand. That's the title of this study, and we'll hear more of this presentation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you'd like to hear this broadcast once again, and any recent edition of Real Radio, visit us at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You can listen again online or download the broadcast to hear it at a time that's most convenient for you. In fact, you may even look into becoming a podcast subscriber, all at no charge, by the way. www.realradioactive.org. Contact us by telephone at 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And if you've been enjoying Real Radio and it's played a part in your scriptural knowledge and growth in 2006, remember that you can make a tax-deductible contribution to our radio fund. You may do so online, call us, or send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.